Welcome back to the Fresh Ubuntu podcast. My name is Harlem, and here with me always is Peter Nicolaitis over there in Vermont. How you doing, Peter?
Yo.
So what's been happening in your part of the world?
Well, it's raining right now. Ooh. It's kind of annoying. Still sticking to that MetaFast diet that I mentioned a while ago. I'm down about 10, 11 pounds or so now.
Excellent.
Yep, feeling good.
Congratulations.
Yep. I'm still pretty much doing the media fast. You know, you're used to that because you read the 4-hour work week a while back. Mm-hmm. And I've got to admit, I've been goofing off a little bit. I'm using a little bit of my own earned time off to take some time off from work, just, you know, working a few hours a day here and there. Good. And it's been kind of nice.
Good. It's amazing how much time you do actually have if you like cut down TV, radio, internet.
Exactly.
You have so much time on your hands.
Yep. I am way behind on my podcasts as a result. But I'm picking and choosing.
Right. Especially during the summer, it's really important that, you know, you free up some time so you can get out every now and again, right?
Exactly. Yep. Haven't gotten out on my bike as much. I haven't been out on my bike for a few weeks now, but I've been getting my two-wheel fixed by zipping around on my scooter. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Still going green.
Yep. Still green. Still going strong. And, you know, the battery life is getting a little better each time, too. So that's nice. And it has even on the shorter trips, it's got a little more power each time. So, you know, it doesn't feel like it's really lagging at the end of the trip so much. That's nice.
Great.
Yep.
Well, we're in a heat wave still. So it's been a little bit above 85, 86 today. In the past couple of days, it's been in the 90s, and it's kind of pleasant, actually. I'm liking this kind of weather, but, you know, I'm sure by August, September, I'll be very tired of the heat, so.
And it get old.
Yeah, it does, and it's sometimes unbearable, miserable, but then I say that again round about January, you know, when it's bitterly cold here.
You can't make your mind up, right?
Anyway, I suppose we should go on with the news. We have about 7 or 8 articles that we could talk about. We have a Man Page Minute this week, Zcat, and we have a ton of user feedback. So might as well get on with it.
Sounds like a plan.
Right. We'll be back in a short second here. Back with the news, and let's see, the first one up is an article from codingexperiments.com. I'm not sure if many of you have seen this yet, but it's entitled "Which Linux Distros or Distributions Are Dying." Did you get a chance to read the article?
Yeah, I read through it, and it was pretty interesting. It's mostly focusing on Google Trends, you know, basically just looking to see what people are searching for. And the overwhelming trend, it's kind of shocking, with all of the big Linux distributions out there now, Debian, Red Hat, SUSE, OpenSUSE, Fedora, Slackware, they're all going down. Basically, people are, you know, just in searches alone. Ubuntu, however, is going up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty interesting. Actually, I take that back. I said all going down. OpenSUSE searches are going up a little bit, but SUSE searches are going down.
Right. They're trending and up. Yep.
Exactly. Trending, yes. Yep. So it was just kind of interesting. And this, I don't know if this is the same site that brought us the report, but a while ago, you recall that, you know, we pointed out that Linux searches are going down in favor and that more people are now searching for Ubuntu.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they have that, the final chart that they show actually graphs, you know, charts Ubuntu versus Linux, right, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead. One thing to note is that these are just search terms from the Google Trends site, and so
exactly.
it's people searching for these things. And I suppose you can make a stretch that if you're searching for it, you might actually be using it. So, or, and in terms of popularity, it's definitely,
yeah, it's search popularity, but search popularity also does tend to track popularity in general for most things.
Sure.
But yeah, if you want to do your own thing, if you want to do your own comparison searches, you can. You can go to just google.com/trends, and you just punch in your own search term right there, so you can compare stuff. It's pretty interesting.
Yep. I might do that with Fresh Ubuntu and Lug Radio, actually. And see which.
Well, you know what? We might have an unfair advantage there.
Recently, they announced that they were going to go off the air.
They just announced that a day or two ago that they're going to be ending it with Lug Radio Live. I guess I wasn't too terribly surprised to hear about that. I was a little saddened because, you know, I like the show, but they've, I don't know, with their last season and a half or so, they seem like they've been a little, like they're kind of reaching, you know, kind of like stretching for content.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's I don't know. The show has still been very entertaining to listen to, and I am certainly going to miss it. But I understand. Yeah. But we'll give this as an opportunity to plug the Ubuntu UK podcast. So if you want to hear a bunch of funny Brits chatting about Linux and Ubuntu specifically, Alan and Davey and Tony and the other one whose name escapes me, he's probably going to like send me flame mail, do a great job every fortnight. And so you can pick up the Ubuntu UK podcast to get your Brit fix.
Yeah, that's right. You can do that. I never listened to Lug Radio. I don't know. I never caught on to it. Of course, I'm not a, I'm a relatively new Linux user. So, you know, I haven't completely immersed myself into the lifestyle yet. So I might pick up a few episodes and listen to it, but for
now. You're a noob.
I'm a noob. That's right. Anyway, let's get on with the next one. Intrepid Ibex.
Intrepid Ibex. Yes. Alpha is out.
Alpha is out. And
that's right.
A couple of the new things going on with Intrepid Ibex is a new kernel, the pre-release version of the Linux 2.6.26. Mm-hmm. And just basically some upstream Debian stuff. So what do you think? Are you cooking up a fresh Ubuntu of,
I am, even as we speak, I am 56% through, the select and install software phase.
Okay.
Going really quickly.
Yeah. That's the one thing I liked about, installing Ubuntu is that it was quick. You know, it wasn't this 3-hour event, at least the last one I put on here, Artie Heron.
Yep.
So it's out, and if you're willing to beta test it, or excuse me, alpha test it, you can do so. Make sure it's not on your production machines. I think
very much so.
Yep, I think we have. On the website there is a place to download it, and we'll have those links for you at freshubuntu.org in the show notes.
Excellent.
You want to take the next one?
Sure. Zandros. As of July 1st, this was announced, Zandros has quietly acquired Linspire. May recall, Zandros is one of the few commercial Linux distros, and I'm pretty sure they're only commercial, right? There's no, like, open Zandros, is there?
No, they have a free Spire.
Oh, no, that's Linspire, though, but Zandros doesn't.
Oh, Zandros, you're right. Uh-huh.
You know?
Zandros.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zandros is the one that boasts the best Windows compatibility. Like, you can join a domain, a Windows domain, and it'll run your login scripts and map drives and things like that.
Right.
And, really good support for porting your stuff. But as I understand it, it's completely commercial. They acquired Linspire with very little fanfare. Apparently they signed the agreement back on June 19th, but it only came to light earlier this week?
Yep, on the 2nd.
So, yeah. So, they've got it. They say that they're going to continue doing Linspire and continue doing FreeSpire. And click and run is going to continue. So, I don't, it's interesting. I wonder why they would acquire... Yeah, I don't know, really. I would not say that they're going to... I would not predict that Linspire is going to stay around forever. I would expect that whatever proprietary technologies that Zandros is getting from them will be, you know, absorbed into the Zandros distro. That's my prediction.
I agree too. But here's one scenario. It's, and actually, this is just the little fishes being eaten up by the big fishes. But here's what I'm thinking. So Zandros bought out Linspire. What if Canonical bought out Zandros? Now there's a way for Canonical to make a little extra revenue, get a little more extra market share, and get their, you know, Ubuntu MID or Ubuntu Mid edition out on those Asus PCs licensed under Zandros.
Interesting.
Just a scenario.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the relative sizes are, though. I don't know how Canonical compares in size to Zandros. Yeah. I mean, I know that like Ubuntu has a much higher user base than Zandros does, but I don't know like how the companies size up, you know, in comparison.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Maybe my big fish, little fish analogy is not
real who knows
strict one, but who knows.
Well, the other, another just a neat little piece that I was unaware of. Last year, Zandros acquired Scalix. And Scalix is one of a few open source email, groupware, calendar, collaboration tools similar to Microsoft Exchange or Zimbra. So, and Zimbra, of course, was acquired by Yahoo, a little over a year ago, I guess. So just another interesting piece of the puzzle that, you know, Zandros, they may become a bigger player. I mean, what with the EPC and everything, like you mentioned, we may be hearing more of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. What's up next?
Military grade USB key supports Linux desktops. And,
yes.
Iron Key Inc. Introduce a line of encrypted USB storage keys. They come in 1 gigabyte, 2 gigabyte, 4 gigabyte, and 8 gigabyte models, offering quote unquote military grade hardware encryption. And it doesn't require a driver to install.
Yep.
What do you think?
Well, this is pretty interesting to me. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to get one. It definitely looks pretty cool. If you don't know, if you're not familiar with the Iron Key, what I'd recommend you do is go and listen to Security Now, episode 135. We'll put a link in the show notes. But they introduced the founder of, I think it was the founder of Iron Key. Basically, it's like an all-in-one, you know, it's a heavily encrypted, physically secured USB thumb drive, you know, stick kind of thing.
Right.
It incorporates its own, like a Tor style network. It can be used. I think you can do authentication. It basically, if you fail to log into it 10 times, it basically like, you know, kills itself. It does a literal self-destruct where, you know, just stops working. Wow. It's got a lot of really cool features. So if you're ultra paranoid about the stuff that you're carrying around, look into this. Me, I've been pretty happy just using TrueCrypt.
Right.
I've been just using TrueCrypt on my thumb drives. And, also another thing too, over the weekend, I did whole disk encryption. I did, I TrueCrypted my entire, Windows partition.
Oh.
And, everything went fairly smoothly, except so far I have not figured out how to, or maybe I'm doing something wrong if it's even possible, to decrypt my Windows partition from within Linux. That's a little disappointing because I like to be able to, you know, share files back and forth between the partitions, especially since I have my Thunderbird and Firefox profiles living on the Windows side. So I haven't spent any significant amount of time actually looking into how to, you know, do it and what I'm doing wrong. But, you know, I set that up, and while I was doing it, I had to move Grub out of the master boot record because TrueCrypt replaces, you know, whatever you've got there in the MBR with its own bootloader.
Right.
And, you know, it's not a great thing, but for if not super hard, but if anyone's interested in how to do that, I put the simple little procedure up on my blog, you know, how to move Grub out of the MBR so that you can still use it and boot your operating systems and stuff. So,
and that blog is at?
That is at pn72.com.
There you go, pn72.com.
Yep. You can also go to nikolaitis.com/blog, of course.
And drink.
There we go. So anyway, that's a little bit of an aside. But yeah, if you're interested in the Iron Key, it now supports Linux natively. So awesome. Check it out.
Excellent. More and more of these things coming out.
Yep.
NVIDIA says no to free drivers. And so this guy who wrote this article, says no to NVIDIA, or NVIDIA. Yeah, I don't really like, you know, vendors who take that proprietary view. It's really, I don't know, it's just not nice at all. but the sad thing is that computers that do come out, especially ones that are that have Windows Vista pre-installed, do come with NVIDIA video cards, and many of the users who switch over to Ubuntu don't really have much of a choice because they use the video card that's in their computer. So not much we can do about it, except, you know, maybe choose wisely the next time we buy a computer.
Right. Yeah. And that's a shame, because I've always been a real fan of NVIDIA cards. I've had much better luck with them driver-wise on Windows than I have with the ATI cards.
Right. Yeah. And they do the GeForce cards, right? You know, the really high-end gaming ones.
They play Warcraft real good.
Real good.
Real good.
So, speaking of Warcraft, by the way, we might as well mention this right now. Have you got it installed on your Ubuntu machine yet?
No. However, I was going to say, we'll mention this in the feedback. One of our listeners did send me a tutorial, which was new to me. I had not seen these steps before. So I am excited that I have something new to try.
Okay.
So I do plan on doing that maybe over the long weekend. Give it one more shot here and get the stupid thing working.
Or you
and if that and if when, if that doesn't work, then I'll just call Scott Ritchie.
There you go. Yeah. Get him back on the line. We can do another podcast with him.
Right.
You know, and while you guys are fixing, you know, getting WoW on your computer, we can do a podcast at the same time.
There you go. We'll just, it'll be a how-to.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Well. Okay. We'll talk more about that in the user feedback. I guess choose wisely the next time you buy a computer, if you have that choice, because you're right, it's not fair. Coming up next, you put this one up, I think, Windows XP last hurrah.
It would be kind of interesting if it was Windows last hurrah, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oops. We started a rumor.
Yeah, not exactly. Windows XP's last hurrah. Yeah, as we recovered, XP, June 30th, Windows XP went away. Sort of. I mean, basically, you can't buy it from Microsoft anymore. You can't go down to Best Buy or Staples or whatnot and pick yourself up a copy of XP. So, Office 2003 or Windows 2000 now, you're stuck. You have to try to find it from someone who still has stock in it.
Right.
But it's not totally gone away. If, for instance, you have a volume license agreement, you still can downgrade. Uh-huh. You can continue to run the older versions. So it's not completely gone, and that's good. I just, I'm still not sold on the Vista thing, and most of my machines here, I think like one computer here in the office, I think would do a good job of running Vista. And right. I just, I'm not going to upgrade all of my hardware just so that I can have the latest operating system for Microsoft.
Yeah. And that's,
I would upgrade to get the greatest, but I don't have to. So. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's what many of the IT people, especially in these big corporations with lots of computers and that kind of thing, they just didn't have the money to upgrade their computers to run, a simple operating system, which didn't amount to anything much more than XP with a nicer interface. So,
And that's debatable.
And you're right. And that's debatable too. So, although for all intents and purposes, Windows Vista is a fairly decent operating system, because I dual boot and I pretty much can do, the things that I did in XP the same way with Vista. So that being said, Ubuntu is a much better operating system for the money. So, and Bill Gates, speaking of Windows XP's last hurrah, Bill Gates, last day, this past week or so, June 27th was Bill Gates' day at Engadget.
Yep.
So,
he's gone, sort of.
I mean,
he's still, he's gone just like Windows XP is.
You're right. Exactly.
He's still around. He's still on Microsoft's board of directors. You know,
he's probably
not
got
gone.
One of those bat phone things where he can just pick up the phone and it's a direct line to, you know, the folks over at Microsoft. And he
You know, Steve, I'm really not happy with this whole open source thing.
Right.
So
to the Batcave. Yes. You know, yep. It's just.
Well, anyway, I would like to run down a list and thank Bill Gates for all of the innovations and brand new creations that he has brought to the computing world. I will now list those. Up next, Samba Team releases version 3.2.
Now. You got to admire the guy for having some vision, though, you know.
Yeah, like the internet thing being a passing phase that wouldn't catch on, and really good visionary there. I did forget to bookmark this one. The page timed out while I was trying to load it while we were prepping, though. But Samba did actually, yes, release version 3.2 just a few days ago. And so Samba 3 is out, 3.2 is out. So new with Samba version 3.2, they've got a number of new features. I'll just run down the list really quickly, but we'll have a link in the show notes so you can review. And, you know, you'll whether you know it or not, you'll probably be running Samba soon. Yep. Now supports clustered file servers. They've got easier configuration tools, apparently a bunch more new Samba commands so you don't have to have third-party scripts installed. Better integration with Windows. We reported on this around the beginning of the year where Microsoft actually, sent an envoy to the Samba team, and Tridge reported how that was very beneficial. So that's a good news. They support encrypted network transports. Samba uses less memory. It supports IP6. All kinds of cool stuff. And it is also now released under GPL version 3. So check out samba.org if you want to get the latest version, or just give it a little time. I'm sure it'll be in a repo near you pretty soon.
Yep. Our last article is about Thunderbird 2. Do you want to take that one?
Yeah, Thunderbird. The only reason that I put this, I bookmarked this, was because I want to know, are any of our listeners, can anyone tell us what's up with Thunderbird? I heard about this whole Mailco thing, and Mozilla was spinning it off. But if you want to get Thunderbird, you still get it from Mozilla.org, products Thunderbird or whatnot, or whatever that address is and stuff. So if anybody knows, just let me know. Tell me, what is up with Thunderbird? Has anything happened? Is this new company did it like not happen? What's up? I don't know. Tell me, enlighten me.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've been using Thunderbird for a little while. I'm not sure what version I'm using. I'm probably number 2, but let us know.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Okay, that's going to do it for the news this week. So we will go into our man page minute, Zcat. And, Cafe Ninja, take it away.
Minute is on the command Zcat. In for Peter Nicolaitis, I'm Emmett Stewart, aka Cafe Ninja. To use the command, type Zcat space file name. Zcat is actually included in the gzip package. Zcat's a specific command combination option for gunzip -c. Zcat will uncompress a file even if it doesn't have the .gz extension if the magic number, a compression thing, is correct. Unlike zless, which wants the file to have the extension no matter what. The only switches for this command are informative, like -h for help and -b for version, nothing fancy. It does not decompress the original file. Decompression for the purposes of cat is done in the buffer and sent to the standard output command line. Standard text manipulation can be applied to the output that streams to the command line, as normal. And that's it for this week's Man Page Minute. This is Cafe Ninja. Signing off.
All right. Welcome back. And, of course, Cafe Ninja had to email us about about the comment we made last week. He said, thanks for making me sound like an anal retentive nerd last week. This time it's late and he doesn't care.
So, that's the spirit.
That's the Cafe Ninja that we're all accustomed to.
That's what we're going for.
Anywho, we have like a boatload of feedback.
Indeed.
So we might as well get on with that.
Where to begin?
I'll just start at the top. If you recall, we were wondering if we were using Firefox 3 a couple of weeks maybe 3 weeks ago. Didn't know if we were in the repositories yet. And a gentleman, Vadim, wrote us and he said Firefox 3 is already in Ubuntu and it was done within 24 hours. And he asked us to check our Firefox version. And he goes on to say, for Wine, the Debs, you can get the Debs or the .deb files at http://wine.budgetdedicated.com/archive/index.html. I'll put that in the show notes. But anyway, thanks for letting us know. And yeah, it wasn't much long until they got Firefox 3 in the repos, which is pretty good, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's see what's next. We had a couple of emails back about our talk about my electric scooter, Sparky.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, my wife has named the scooter Sparky. So.
Appropriate.
Yes, a gentleman named David Heron emailed and said, by day, I'm involved with the OpenJDK project. That's the Java Developers Kit. So, by night, I work with electric vehicles. I run a forum at visforvoltage.org, and we specialize in electric bicycles and scooters and motorcycles. If you run into issues, you might find some help from our site. I wish you luck with your scooter.
Excellent.
And thank you, David. I'm glad to hear from him. Actually, I have I frequented the forum that very forum before I purchased Sparky. So it's kind of neat hearing from the forum operator and also hearing that he's a listener here, too. So great.
And welcome. On top of that, he's part of the OpenJDK project.
Even better, isn't it? Yeah, it's just great. Yeah,
I think we were talking about that in that actual episode.
Yeah, you had mentioned something about Java and stuff like
Java,
that.
Java, JavaScript. I don't know. I forgot.
Yeah, it'd be better, it's too bad he has to work on that Java language and not something, that's open source.
That sound you're hearing is someone typing you a hate. Someone's typing you hate.
You morons,
mail.
Java is open source. Why don't you, anyway.
Peter at freshubuntu.org. But thanks for the comment, and the site is visforvoltage.org.
Yep.
Okay, cool. This one is from Jason in North Carolina. He says, I love the show. Thanks. Period. That's it.
Hey, keep it simple. Yep. Keep it short. No problem.
That's the kind we like, by the way, the ones that love us.
Yes, yes.
Then more of those.
You know what? The ones who love us, they can go on longer, though.
Yes.
That's okay. It's the ones who hate us, they can keep it short. And send it to harlem@freshubuntu.org.
Yeah. Okay, this one's in line with the Java, and he said, you talked about Java loading pages slowly. I think you got Java and JavaScript confused. Just wanted to clear that up. Okay. I don't know about that. JavaScript is one thing, and I know the two are different. But there are Java applets, right, that you can get from websites that load slowly and run slowly for that matter. So,
yes.
Okay. Yep. But thanks for clearing that up. I may have gotten it confused, but okay.
Yeah.
Thank
you. We've established now that we don't know what browser we're running. We don't know what scripting language or application language things are running in.
Right.
What else don't we know? There were a bunch of things that we didn't know. It was great. I figured out that was the way to get feedback, is we just got to be wrong.
But we do know that Linux is Ubuntu and Ubuntu is Linux.
Ubuntu is Linux, that's right. And in 2007, when Ubuntu took the dominant market share of the desktop operating system market with 47%.
Right.
Okay, anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, so more maybe email. It's JavaScript. Who knows?
Want to
get the next one? Yeah, we got one from a guy named Kevin Thompson over at tuxsoftware.com. He said, I know you're highlighting new Unix and Linux apps in your cast, and I thought you might find ours of interest. Feel free to test it and give any form of your review you wish. We can handle criticism. It's what makes us and our utilities even better. I want to just interrupt for a moment. Okay. We can handle criticism. It's what makes our podcast even better. All right. Anyway, over
not
at
too good on the ego though.
No, no, it slams the ego. But if you're, it doesn't kill your ego. It only makes it stronger.
Right.
They've got a thing called Linux Software Search and Install. It's over at tuxsoftware.com. Brief description is tuxsoftware.com has been developed to help you research, find, and install free Linux software as simply as possible. The aim is to compile an informative listing of latest, most popular, and well-documented GNU Linux software and provide a means of easy installation of software directly from your web browser. By the way, it's not like Click and Run or CNR. We only bring attention to end-user-ready apps and provide screenshots, links, descriptions, and requisites for each. Site's very young, and they are nowhere near complete. Consider it a beta, but user-ready. Oh, see, you had me, then you lost me. You said that it was a beta and user-ready. Ah, oh, Kevin, don't you listen to this podcast? It's either a beta or it's ready. It's not a beta that's user-ready. Right. All right? Despite that, go ahead, check out tuxsoftware.com, and you'll probably find some cool stuff over there.
Right.
But just don't call it a beta if it's not ready, all right? Seriously.
Or don't call it a beta if it is ready.
That could be Kevin calling me right now.
Yeah. All right. One from Steely. He says, I talked about OpenSUSE, and I suppose I offended OpenSUSE users. OpenSUSE does also come in a one CD distro. Now, a live version of which there's GNOME and KDE versions. And then he said, it confirms my Java applets scenario. Java applets can really slow down browsing, especially those online games, which can take a little while to load. So there you go. I'm vindicated.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really browsing, though. That's loading your app, but who knows? But whatever. We were wrong. Who cares? Moving on.
Okay. All right. another one from Vadim, Vadim. I apologize if I'm mangling the name.
I'm sure you are.
You're right. My only beef with OpenSUSE is that the torrent ISO doesn't download at 600 kilobits per second like the Ubuntu one, even after 24 hours of the release. There you go.
There you go indeed.
Yep. Just got to seed those things.
Yep. Hey, we also had a comment from Mike Basinger, Techno Viking, and regarding the email we got from Martin a couple weeks ago where he was having difficulty installing.
He
said that there is a Wubi area of the forums over at the Ubuntu forums, ubuntuforums.org, and he said that's the place to go for Wubi help. So that is at ubuntuforums.org/forum-display.php?F=234 F as in forum. So
not a very cryptic URL, is it?
That's just really it. forum.display.php/F=234 We'll throw a link in the show notes just to make sure you can find it though.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Here's one from Randy. Randy Noseworthy. And it wasn't a voicemail, it was a email. He said, Harlan, the person that had the problem with Wubi needs to have the ISO image in the same directory as the Wubi installer. If he was trying to install it without the live CD, the live CD has its own install program, which I haven't used. I did try Wubi some time ago, and it just looks for an ISO in its current directory. So in theory, any Linux distro would work. All right, Randy, thanks. Never mind about going to the Wubi forum.
Just try that.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't work, then go to the forum.
Then go to the forum, yeah.
Yes. So, well, that's pretty cool. Hey, just by the way, my Intrepid Ibex Alpha install is done.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I got to tell you, so far, it's better than my previous alphas. Like, I didn't get a crash report right off the bat.
Fantastic. So you're booted up?
I'm running it in a virtual machine right now.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks a lot like Hardy. It's got the same desktop as Hardy, except they've changed the... they've changed the menus and the default window colors, so everything's like a dark gray background or a trim. Mm. And it's, I don't know. I'm guessing that they're kind of going for the Macintosh style thing, you know, where like all the apps are all brushed metal.
Right.
Except I don't think it's quite there yet, because on a Mac, when everything's all the same color, like here, the sides, the menus, the title bars, etc., they're all the same color. There's no delineation, basically, as to what part is clickable, so you can drag or expand a window, and what isn't.
Mm.
So little bit rough there, you know. But I that's kind of typical in my experience. A lot of, you know, Linux interface things have just they're lacking a little bit of the polish that you might find in some Windows or Mac apps, but still, it's not nearly as brown as previous releases have been.
Yay!
So, yes, I figured you'd be happy with that. I don't know. I'm still a little more partial to the blue, but you know, I could live with this. It's a little interesting. Yeah. I was surprised too that they don't have OpenOffice.org 3.0 yet. It's still at 2.4. But anyway, that's a micro review of Intrepid Ibex. I've been using it for about 47 seconds now. And there you go.
Excellent. So. Thank you for that. Just a brief rundown of the alpha. You're getting it all today. A little bit of news, a little bit of user feedback, and some alpha testing.
Yeah. I had another email. It was from Chris Dempsey. He was the gents who sent me the Warcraft link.
Yeah.
Said, "Hi guys, I remember a few podcasts back in the UDS conference show. Peter mentioned he could, if he could get World of Warcraft working on Ubuntu, he'd be able to ditch Windows. I followed the directions at," and this is a big long URL, "several times, and it worked like a champ for me. So, you know, it's great. I'm going to definitely give this a shot, hopefully this weekend, and see if I can get it running once and for all, ditch Windows, and just, you know, have some fun."
Is this Chris in Dallas?
Well, his email is cdallas@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And his name is Chris Dempsey. So this may be Chris in Dallas.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for writing, Chris.
But, you know, but he didn't, I don't know. So, Chris, whomever you are, thank you. Whether you're in Dallas or at Dallas or whatnot there, thanks.
Oh, here's a one from Jeff Rash. He was listening to our last podcast, or at least a couple of podcasts ago. He talked about we talked about your motorcycle, and he told us to check out the Aptera. It's classified as a motorcycle.
Yeah, it's classified as a motorcycle. It's actually a if I remember, this is a three-wheeled vehicle though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like enclosed and stuff, but yeah, I forget. It varies from state to state what's a motorcycle. But this thing is, it's enclosed, you know, so you can like ride it around in the rain and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And two people side slick. By side.
Oh, it's tandem. Yeah. which you don't really find on many motorcycles these days, but, yep, it's, three wheels. Apparently they say 100 miles per gallon.
Yep.
And, you know, all right, that's pretty cool. So yeah, if you're, you know, if you're an open JDK developer, you might be interested in something like this. And, yeah, that's the Aptera. Thanks for that email.
It's at aptera.com.
Aptera.com, aptera.com. And the last piece I had one more. Oh, yes. Actually, this wasn't feedback, but something else. Jungle Disk 2.0 has been released. And if you don't know what Jungle Disk is, it is a pretty cool cross-platform piece of software. It's not open source, but it's pretty cool. It runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux. And what it is a friendly interface to Amazon's S3 service, their simple storage solution.
Yeah.
Basically, you need to have an Amazon S3 account, which I had. Mm-hmm. But if you buy any of the Amazon services, they're all very, very bare bones. Like, they don't give you an easy interface. You can't just browse your files if you buy an Amazon, you know, S3 account. You have to program your interface to it. Jungle Disk is one of several things that bridges that gap, is a piece of software. Costs $20, and that's a lifetime subscription to the software. And then what it does is it lets you mount your Jungle Disk on Linux. You just mount it under a mount point using the Fuse module, file system, and user space. And under Windows or Mac, you could just mount it as a drive or a file object on your desktop. It's pretty slick. You know, you get you pay basically 15 cents per gigabyte. We've been backing up. We've been doing all of our off-site backups from my company here. And I forget how many gigabytes we've got up on there, but we just got our monthly bill for last month. That was like $6. And, nice. You know, I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gigs, or, you know, we may have over a terabyte up there at this point. I suppose I could do the math, but it always seems to come out cheaper than what I expect it to be. So anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is not only is Jungle Disk available, but I have received a code. As an existing Jungle Disk user, I can give it out to 10 times to people to get Jungle Disk at half price. So if you want your own copy of Jungle Disk, you can get it for $10. So if you do, just drop an email to peter@freshubuntu.org or send me a direct message on Twitter. I'm Nikolaitis on Twitter, Nikolaitis. And I'll send you a code while supplies last. I'm down to I've got 10, so, you know, 9 or 10. So the first 10 folks who want to get Jungle Disk for half price, just, you know, drop me a note.
Excellent.
Yep. Arlen, do you want one? Have you used Jungle Disk? Okay. Nine left.
Okay. Nine left. I'll take one. And also, interested in that S3 account, because is that hosting or is it?
It's disk space hosting. It's storage. It's cloud computing storage. You get this space from Amazon, and it's just, you know, space scattered all over their servers wherever they may be, which you can access over the internet. It's like something like if you buy a Macintosh and you buy a .Mac account and they give you storage online, or Box.net or xDrive or any of those servers. Except there's no really user-friendly interface to it. You have to program your own, or you have to buy a third-party interface like Jungle Disk in this case.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
And if you're interested in Jungle Disk and you want to learn more about that, I'm plugging Security Now a lot, but over on Security Now, episode 123, they interviewed the founder of Jungle Disk. And it was a really good interview, just, you know, overview of all of the different things that Jungle Disk does for you, and talks a little bit about S3, etc. So go check that out if you're interested.
Yeah, cool. Last comment from My Bunch, what he's called. He says, just to make sure you're coming back after a couple of weeks. He was sad to hear that Lug Radio is ending, so you guys better stick around. We will. We'll be here for a while.
We're not going anywhere. We're just taking a short break.
A vacation, folks. Just a vacation. Yeah. Which reminds us, let's remind everybody, we will be going on hiatus the end of July. What were the dates again?
I am out of town in 3 weeks. So looks like our last regular episode will be July 17th.
Okay.
And then we'll be taking 2-3 weeks off, maybe into August, and we'll be resuming sometime after that.
Right. So expect a podcast somewhere around the middle of August. So.
Yeah.
We will be on the air up until July 17th. To carry on with his email, he says, after using Ubuntu 6.10 for 20 months, I'm still discovering something new. Finally, he set up Akiga with an account with Diamond Card to check it out. Easy to set up, and calls from the PC to the phone works good. The only hassle is getting used to the 800 millisecond delay, but calls are cheap and good and have good sound quality. Even though my webcam works, I haven't tried a video call yet. Looking forward to Ubuntu for MIDs or MIDs. I hope Dell will release an Ubuntu model in in Australia. Enjoying your right podcast. Keep them coming. And
we will.
They will. And that's it for user feedback.
That pretty much sums it up.
Unless you got any more.
I think that pretty much did it. Right. Didn't tick off anybody too much this week.
Oh, so. No. Hey, I'm sorry. One more from Brian Morey. He says, hey, guys, love the show. Do you know of a USB wireless adapter that works straight out of the box with Hardy?
I'm new to Linux, right.
And I don't know much about configuring networks. I don't know.
USB wireless adapter, right?
Is it USB? Yeah.
I think he was looking for a USB wireless adapter.
That's right. USB wireless adapter.
Yes. I don't even have any USB wireless adapters right now, so I couldn't answer that one. I did post this in the IRC chat room the other day when we got this, but then I had to reboot and logged out. And Heartsbane, I'm sorry, no, I was not running IRISI or whatnot in a screen session, so I didn't save it. My bad. But if any of our regular listeners know of good USB wireless adapter that works with Ubuntu Hardy out of the box, drop us a note. Let us know.
Yep. And you can drop that to us at harlem@freshubuntu.org or peter@freshubuntu.org. Or you can go straight to the blog, the companion blog to this podcast at freshubuntu.org, and either drop a comment or use the contact page. And several ways to get a hold of us. You can even get us through Twitter every now and again, if you're lucky, if Twitter is up. My account is at twitter.com/Harlem, and Peter's is twitter.com/Nikolaidis, NikolaiDis. This week, I think that's going to cut it for this week. Music was provided by the Iota Promenade. Any last words, Peter?
The middle music stuff was, but yeah. Theme song and closers by Scott McGrath.
Yes. Thank you, Scott, for that.
Yes.
And that is going to do it for this week.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, everybody.